Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to be here this morning, and I'm glad to be a part of the song service that we sang this morning. And you know, it says in Hebrews that this is an acceptable offering to God. It's acceptable worship to our Lord, and we worship a Lord this morning that deserves worship and praise. So let's keep that in mind as we sing these songs. And a song come to mind, 703, that we sung about pure in heart. You know, if that's truly our heart this morning, that we would be pure in heart. I truly want that to be my heart this morning, that I'd be pure in heart in everything I do in life. So maybe we can come to the Lord in prayer here. Yes, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that all creation is about you this morning. Help us, Lord, see that prospect this morning, Lord. Help us to worship you this morning with focused hearts. Help us this morning, Lord, to keep our thoughts on you. Help us keep our minds clear. Help us to keep our spirit in prospect with you this morning, Lord. We invite your spirit here this morning, Lord. We pray that your spirit would cause our hearts to exalt your holy name this morning, Lord, and lift you up, Father. That's the intent of our heart this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray as I endeavor to share here this morning, Lord, I pray that you help me. Bring forth these words, Lord, and these thoughts, Father. I know that me by myself, I can mix these things up, Lord. But I know that you can bring correction to the ears of the listeners, Lord. I pray that this morning that you help me in these ways. In Jesus' name, amen. what I plan to share on this morning is pressing on. That we press in to the Word of God, and we press on, we press towards the mark this morning of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ. And, to stay encouraged in His Word this morning, to stay encouraged in God's ways that we've been walking in, that we stay encouraged in that this morning, because this life has a tendency to beat us down. And to be discouraged in our Christian walk is not beneficial, and it's not helpful to anyone around us. And to not turn back from the things that we hold dear in our lives. After coming through Bible school a couple weeks ago, I'm sure that we made some commitments in our Christian life. I'm sure that we made some commitments in our Christian walk. Maybe it was for a more surrendered life. Maybe we made commitments to walk closer with God. Maybe we heard these messages. You know, we heard a lot of messages on a lot of practical teachings on a godly life and a godly walk. And we heard teachings that convicted our heart, and we made commitments that we're going to follow God. My heart is this morning that 2 weeks after Bible school, we don't forget these messages, and we don't forget the commitments that we made, and that we would continue to press in and hold those messages and those commitments of high value in our life. You know, Leonard Gunther was here. He preached a lot of practical messages on a Christian life, and that touched my heart. And I made commitments that week also that I want to, you know, in areas of our life. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's the way we respond to our neighbors. Maybe it's the way we respond to those around us. You know, he had a story of a neighbor that lived beside him that despised him. He put up a fence to keep him out. And Leonard's continual walk with God and his continual reaching out and blessing him day after day after day. Won his heart. There come a day that The gate went down and he sit at Leonard's dinner table and ate lunch with him. If that's our heart this morning, that we'd do that to the people around us, God would be blessed. Now, I'm not just speaking to the youth here. I'm speaking to myself. I was putting this devotional together through Bible school, and you know, I was inspired during Bible school. It was a blessing. You know, and I feel that week that God give us a jewel. If we made commitments in our heart, that He give us a jewel in our heart that week, and He put it there for us to grow. You know, we look around. I think Moe said something about how blessed we are to sit here. We are a blessed people to have that opportunity, to have that growing in our hearts. And you know, the world don't have these opportunities. They don't have these teachings, and they don't have this chance for a little fire to be burning in their hearts to give them encouragement and strength. Because if we don't have this encouragement in our life, we try to walk out our Christian life that way, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be a difficult Christian life. You know, all the things we heard and all the commitments we made, let's not harden our hearts with them. Let's not harden our hearts, because I heard one of the speakers, he spoke, he said that Pharaoh, he hardened his heart 6 times. The 7th time, God hardened it. You know, if that happens to us and God hardens our heart, then we're not in control no more of what happens in our life. You know, it's like this, if we made a commitment maybe to follow Jesus that week, if we made a commitment that week that we're going to follow Christ and we're a young Christian, if we made that commitment, it's like we were walking on the broad road. We were walking on the broad path, and we had lots of friends and we had lots of baggage. And we came to this mountain, and there was this little path on the side. There was this little path that we decided to get off on, and we decided to travel around the side of this mountain. And as we got on this little path, it was all uphill. It was not an easy walk. It was hot. It was very narrow. We left most of our friends at the entrance. And we left all our luggage there also. So my heart is this morning that we don't turn back. That we don't turn back and go back down the mountain. Because the prize for our life is at the top. And we need to continue. We need to continue on this course. There's a short story here of a guy. It's a true story of co-workers that are working together. And one of them was telling them about this weekend they had, and they went to a national park and they did this hike rough hike through the valley and up the other side. And this other guy got encouraged and excited. He said that he wanted to take this hike also. So the weekend came and he made plans, him and his family went on this hike. The next week, they asked him at break or at lunchtime how he enjoyed it. And he told them that he only went halfway. It got hot, he got tired, and he got bored. My heart is this morning that we don't get bored with our Christian life. You know, the Word of God this morning is exciting. It should be the most exciting thing that we have in this life. And you know, sometimes if we get out of the Word, the world offers some pretty flashy things for us. And then it grabs our attention. You know, God's heart is this morning that we stay excited about His Word. And then it burns in our heart. Our goal as God's children should be to grow in our Christian walk and to achieve the eternal reward that God has promised us. The Apostle Paul encourages in Philippians 3, verse 12 through 17. He says, "Not as though I have already obtained, neither were already perfect, but follow after, that I may apprehend, for which also is apprehended in Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God that is in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, many as be perfect, be thus minded, And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even thus unto you. Nevertheless, therefore we have already obtained, let us walk the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be ye followers together, and mark as them which walk as so ye have for us as an example. Paul's telling us that the highest goal as a follower of Christ is to achieve the righteousness which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, Paul wants us this morning to make that our goal, that righteousness is the key element in our life. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know the secret of His suffering and His death. Paul, he wanted to know the secret of Christ's suffering and His death. He was determined to become like Jesus. He wanted to share in His suffering. That's a challenging thing for me this morning, is to share in the sufferings of Christ. We don't like to suffer. We got pills for everything that happens to us. We like to be in control. We don't like to suffer. Our flesh strives against that. But Jesus seen that it was important for Paul to suffer. Jesus told Ananias that He was going to show Paul that he was going to suffer great things for His name's sake. In Philippians 1:29 said that Paul rejoiced in his suffering. How about us this morning? Do we rejoice in our sufferings? Do we rejoice, or is it a hindrance? I'm speaking to myself because I don't like suffering. I don't like it when I'm sick, and I don't like those things. You know, Paul suffered many things. He suffered shipwreck. He suffered many nights in jail. He suffered many beatings. Paul was convinced that these steps would lead him to his ultimate goal, namely to obtain the resurrection from the dead. These were stages of spiritual growth that he went through in his life. And it brought him out on the other end with grace and faith in Christ. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and it maybe was his suffering that he didn't like. Paul's highest goal was to rise with Christ and to share in His glory. Our aim should be to achieve that this morning also. Paul set out to be where the Redeemer was. He wanted to be with Christ. As we walk this life this morning, everything we do, we need to keep in mind, if we want to be with Christ someday, these things are going to matter. Meanwhile, there are some smaller goals, like stepping stones, that we must achieve in order to get to this final goal. You know, the mission this morning of the church is to represent Jesus Christ to the people around us. And us as individuals, we're to represent Jesus Christ also. Do people know that this morning? Do they know that in my life? Is my life representation of Christ this morning? Do the people at the gas station that I go to, do they know that? The people at the store, do they know that I represent Jesus? Do I share the secrets that I know, that I claim to know about Christ? Do I share it with the hurting people around us? It's a challenge to me. People need to know that we represent Jesus as our Redeemer. What about the people that call us on the phone? What about the people that call us that try to scam money from us? I know a brother last week, someone called him and they call all the time, and he was well aware of what was going on. And he asked that man if he wouldn't consider repenting of his sins. And he started crying. He said he don't know how to do anything else. That's all he'd done his whole life was scam people through the phone, tried to get their identity. It's easy to hang up on those people. I do it. I hang up on them because I know. But they got an ever-dying soul. And God wants them to call. Sometimes He wants them to call us that are representing Him, that we may share with them. As Christ's disciples, we're to teach others to keep the commandments that God has given us. Our mission is to bring the message of hope and of resurrection in Jesus Christ to the world around us. You know, God wants us to be that light to the world around us. The world right now is going through dark times with the unrest in the government and the virus and all these things. The world is easily shaken. God wants us to be set apart from that. God wants those people to be able to see us, that we represent a different kingdom, and that we're not all caught up in those things. Let us remember that it is the grace of God that allows us to set such heavenly goals for ourselves. It is because of God's love that we can be part of His kingdom. Paul wants us to press towards the goal. Our reward will be eternal. May God help us this morning achieve that goal. But there's a downside also. A lot of people do turn back this morning. My heart is that if you made a commitment to follow Jesus and you made a commitment to surrender and to walk close with God, my heart is that you don't turn back. I know we're going to face a lot of challenges. I know there's going to be a lot of hardships. There's going to be a lot of hurts we're going to face. But there's not another option. Turning back ain't an option if we want to see God someday. The Bible has a lot to say about turning back. Israel, they had suffered at the hands of the Egyptians. They had known what deliverance was through the blood of the Lamb, and they turned back. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness because of unbelief. They had a God delivered them. God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and out of all that slavery, and He took them right to the doorsteps of Canaan, and they turned back. That was not God's heart that happened. You know, I read a story last week of story started out, it started naming, it named 10 names. And it asked us if we knew those 10 people. And I didn't know them. And it added two more people to the story. And it was Joshua and Caleb. You know, there was 12 people called to go into the promised land. And they went in and they seen the good things God had for them. And they seen all the blessings God had for them. 10 of them are forgotten, and never once again are they remembered. But God remembered. But we all remember Joshua and Caleb for their courage and their obedient walk with God. And we heard a lot about Joshua and Caleb last week. Aiden spoke on them. I'm going to read Peter 2:4-9. For if God had not spared the angels that sinned, but He cast them down to hell and delivered them to the chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment. And He spared not the world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them, overthrowing them, making an example to them that should live ungodly, and delivered a just lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. And that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul that day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. You know, if God wasn't going to spare the angels that sinned, He wasn't going to spare the people that was with Noah, the whole city. He didn't spare the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. If we turn back, He's not going to spare us either. And 1 Timothy says 1:18-20, it says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mighty warfare, holding faith of the good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith and made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." No, it's no small matter to go back on our commitments we made when we come to Christ. In Luke 9:62 says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." We need to take what we heard at Bible school, series that we had at Bible school and the messages from Dale. We need to take these seriously. Once we respond to God's calling and are forgiven for our sins, we dare not go back to Satan's ways again. It says in Proverbs 26:11, "As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." Jesus knew that the most people that heard this message would be unable or unwilling to follow through. That's a sobering account this morning, that Jesus gave the warnings that very few people are going to follow through with His commands and His ways. In Luke 8, 5-8, says, "A sower went out to sow some seed. As he sowed, some fell on the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it sprung up, withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell on the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it." He goes on to explain the parable of the seeds, that some fell on the rocks and the wayside. Some sprang up, but it was choked out. It happens to a lot of people. In their life, they begin to walk with God, and the cares of life and the snares of everything around them, it takes the Word of God away, is what the Bible's saying. We need to be on guard for that this morning. Christ went on to explain that the seed on the rocks, to hear the Word of truth with joy, but fall away when they face trouble. It says they were not rooted and grounded in God's Word. This morning, we need to not only hear the Word of God, but we need to be rooted and grounded in the things we hear. We need to take them seriously. We need to take seriously the things we heard. That's all I have to share. Thank you for listening.